You're with us for the morning show as we look at childcare closures and strain on families here. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. The intent is to limit the number of adults and children who interact to help contain the spread of COVID-19. And the governor's rule issued last week scaled back daycare operations to a maximum of 10 staff and 50 children present at a time. Centers are supposed to prioritize spots for essential workers. So childcare providers, are you open or closed? How are you managing the governor's order? How are you working with families to decide who gets care? And what support do you need right now? We're at 800-642-1234. Abby Cruz is executive director of the Playing Field Child Care Center in Madison. Abby, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Thanks for having me.
And Ruth Schmidt is here, executive director of the Wisconsin Early Childhood Association. It's an organization that advocates for and assists child care providers and families. Ruth, welcome back to you.
Good morning.
So, Ruth, how does this 10 staff members, 50 children limit change? You know, what impact does that make on providers?
So I don't think we can I don't think we can begin to even measure what that potential impact is going to be. There's a few steps that the state is taking right now to sort of get a better sense of exactly where the capacity of care is. So there are surveys that have gone out to every regulated child care program in the state to sort of get a sense of, are you still operating? Are you short on staff? Get a sense of what future plans are, along with a survey that has gone out to over 20,000 early childhood educators in the state, along with a significant number of K-12 teachers, to try and get a better sense of who we have available to actually meet the need with a considerable prioritization on children of essential workers and primarily focusing on healthcare at this point. So I think it's really challenging. We know, and I'm sure Abby can address this, as we've been surveying and talking to providers across the state, the decisions that they are making are gut-wrenching in terms of impact on staff, impact on families that they've been working with for many, many, many years. And I think people are just trying to sort of wade through this as best they can.
So, Ruth, we don't even know right now what centers are open and closed. That surveying that you're saying is being done right now.
The survey is live, but it's been going on since last week. And so, for instance, all of our child care resource and referral organizations across the state have access to that data, as does Department of Children and Families. And many of my staff have access to that data also. And so that allows us in real time to go in and find out what does the care scenario look like in any given community to be able to better match healthcare workers who are looking for care for their children with the available care that's there.
Abby, as a provider, what are you seeing out of the governor's orders and what caused you to shut down?
So I think that the quandary for a lot of us in this field are that there's been no definition of what essential is. And obviously we're going to focus on, you know, those that provide healthcare services, but the decision has left us in the place of just having to decide for ourselves what positions are essential. And these are families we serve, they're families we have a relationship with, and every family feels like their job and their need for childcare is essential. So we need a clear definition of what essential is and how we're supposed to prioritize the resources that we have to serve those families.
So you're stuck in the situation where you either have to ration your services and decide which families are able to allow to have their kids in and who cannot, or you basically say, let's shut down completely so it is equal access.
Right. We know that we don't have enough staff to serve all of the families that we have. And most of our families that are serving in essential services, especially those in the medical field, don't want their children in group child care right now. They want to have in-home care. So we do have some staff that are willing to do that, but how do we decide which families we provide that to and which families we don't? It would be really helpful to have a very clear definition and a priority list for who gets those services so that we're not being asked to choose between people that we have a long-lasting relationship with and make those decisions without any guidance.
We're talking with Abby Cruz, Executive Director of the Playing Field Child Care Center in Madison. Ruth Schmidt is here, Executive Director of the Wisconsin Early Childhood Association. You as well, what is your child care situation? Has your daycare center closed? What communication have you had? And what are your next steps? We're at 800-642-1234. You can email ideas at WPR.org. So, Ruth, providers are being asked to prioritize caring for children of essential workers. You know, what is essential? Was there any guidance from the governor on clarity on the word essential?
So I don't think that we have yet seen complete guidance from the governor's office in terms of what is essential. What I can tell you is that we have an estimate of what the potential capacity needs to be if children of essential workers needed care. And so Yale School of Medicine has done considerable studies of this to try and help states get a better sense of what they need to be gearing up for. And so in Wisconsin alone, if you just look at the healthcare industry, their estimate is there could be 74,000 children under the age of 11 who are in need of care. And then if you expand it to other industries, to your first responders, to fire, to police, to public safety types of things, to grocery workers, it creeps up to about 370,000 kids under the age of 11 in Wisconsin who would potentially need care. Now, a lot of them obviously will have someone else in the home that potentially can provide care or arrangements already made. The other thing to know is that a survey has gone out. It went out, I think, on Thursday through all of the hospitals in the state of Wisconsin to survey their staff on their child care needs. And so we are also getting in real time every day a report on who are the essential workers in child care that need care. So we get information on who they are, how many children they have, their ages, where they live. And then what we're doing is attempting as best as we can to pair them with individuals who have indicated in the educator survey that they are available to provide care. So this weekend, for instance, I had 17 of my staff reaching out to about 100 early childhood educators and K-12 educators to begin the preliminary pairing process, so sort of picking off the ones that we felt we could more easily move forward to get children into care as soon as possible. And we're looking primarily there at getting educators who are willing to go into the homes of essential workers to provide the care. Because what Abby said in terms of many people not wanting their children in large group programs right now is very real. And so we're hoping that this is an offer then that gets care going a little more quickly.
Abby, how were you able to help prepare your families for an extended closure?
So we've been really fortunate. We have a very mixed model, and some of our parents pay full tuition, and many of our families are subsidized with their tuition payments. So we reached out to all of our privately funded families to find out where they were sitting for child care, and most of them wanted some help, and we tried to match some of our teachers with some of those parents that need help, but most of them were very concerned with the safety and health of their own children and of our staff. So our parents have been very supportive.
We're talking with the head of the Wisconsin Early Childhood Association, Ruth Schmidt, and Abby Cruz, who heads up the Playing Field Child Care Center in Madison. Parents, is your daycare center open or closed? How are you managing the closure? Are you able to care for your kids at home? Is a family member or a friend available to help? How are you coping? Be part of this 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. We'll be back in a moment with Ruth Schmidt and Abby Cruz here on the Ideas Network. If you're just joining us, we're looking at the daycare center situation as the coronavirus pandemic spreads in Wisconsin. It's the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Wisconsin is asking most families to keep kids at home and out of daycare. Remaining centers that are open are focused on providing care for first responders and healthcare providers. But an online petition is urging the governor to close all centers. It's signed by more than 400 people. So what do you think? Should daycare centers keep their doors open? Do you think this puts staff at risk? What do you want to tell elected officials about your home life and work situation? Join in 800-642-1234. We have Ruth Schmidt, who is Executive Director of the Wisconsin Early Childhood Association here. Abby Cruz is here, Executive Director of the Plainfield Child Care Center, and they stay with us. Let's bring in a call now. Justin is with us from Tomahawk this morning. Hi, Justin.
Hello.
Hi, go ahead. What is the child care situation like to you?
Just kind of curious. My wife works in the child care industry, and what can be done about the people that are on the front lines or in the ones that are in need of help right now with daycare, and them are also going to be the ones that are at higher risk for exposure, which can kind of wreak havoc on the system. I know my wife works in for sure, because they are your first responders, your doctors, your people that are actually dealing with this epidemic.
Justin, thank you for the call. Ruth, you know, when we provide essential services for the healthcare workers on the front line, that runs a risk.
Absolutely, it does. And I would say this is one of my biggest areas of frustration right now with what's happening in Wisconsin, and I have to say in other states around the nation. You know, we're waiting to see what ultimately is going to happen at the federal level. But the two pieces that I think we need to be pushing super hard on is there should be some system of hazard pay available for people working in childcare that are providing children of essential workers care. This is a workforce that on average makes about $10 an hour. And we have closed all our public schools, and those teachers who are making significantly more than that are still receiving pay, and which is great. I am all in favor of that. But it is absolutely not okay that we're asking our child care teachers to provide care for 10 bucks an hour. And the other piece I think that the state really needs to address is how do we get all of these early educators that are providing this care health insurance coverage? This is a field that is largely underinsured. And if they are losing jobs in child care programs and beginning to provide care in individuals' homes, the need to have them connected with health insurance, whether it's through the ACA, BadgerCare, it's absolutely critical that the state be addressing that so that we can keep these individuals healthy and compensated.
Abby, before the directive to close schools and to scale down child care centers, how was your center taking precautions to make sure that your kids were safe, that your staff was safe?
We already have really good sanitation procedures in place, but of course we amped those up. We were sanitizing everything. We were being extra vigilant about screening for symptoms and fevers. We were doing everything we could to protect our staff and our children.
And what about the centers that are open? How can they closely monitor families for whether that child is with a parent or a loved one at home who may be showing symptoms of COVID-19?
I think that that's been the question all along, is that there's been no plan in place for how we're going to protect these childcare workers. And what we know about this virus is that it presents very mild symptoms in children, some for none at all, but poses a potential risk to adults. And so that's been the question all along, is how do we screen? Really, we're screening for temperatures, but we know that many people will not present with a temperature. And I don't know what the answer to that question is, and that's one of the questions I would like to have answered, is how do we adequately protect this workforce if they're going to do this important work?
Talking with Abby Cruz, Executive Director of the Plainfield Child Care Center in Madison. Ruth Schmidt is here, who heads up the Wisconsin Early Childhood Association. We're looking at the situation around child care centers in the face of COVID-19. With your story, your situation, how are you getting by without your daycare center? What types of talks have you had with your center? Are you looking at other options? Join in at 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. Ruth, are the majority of our state's child care centers, are they financially prepared to weather an extended closure?
No. I mean, I just can't say that firmly enough. They absolutely are not. And I think one of the biggest concerns, and we've had many conversations with Department of Children and Families about this also, and they share this concern. It's a national concern. There's many national organizations working on this right now, is that this is already a fragile infrastructure, and their ability to survive this and to be able to have some sort of package available for their staff throughout this is pretty non-existent. And so what this looks like on the back end, once we've come out of this, I think is going to be crucial. This industry, as many small mom and pop shop types of things, it's going to be decimated. And then we're going to have the entire issue of other families having come into care because they're children of essential workers. And, we're dealing with it literally moment by moment and have not a good sense of what steps will need to be in place when we get to that point where we're coming out the other side of this and can support programs to ramp up and be operational again.
And Ruth, another stressful point is for the parents who aren't enrolled in a formal daycare setting, but they have wraparound care at their schools after school. Mm-hmm. What are you seeing there for those parents who now need full-time daycare, but certainly can't enroll anywhere?
Right. So if they're working in an essential service industry, they will be receiving surveys. We've started, the state prioritized getting surveys out to healthcare workers, and that is happening. It's slow because it's very challenging to make these connections sometimes. But in that, we're looking at being able to connect people, hopefully to second shift care, to care for their school-age children. And so if you are in the healthcare industry, I think connecting with that survey is an important tool. I also can say that what we're hearing is that there are many stand-up operations happening right now where there's attempts to really get childcare in close proximity to healthcare centers and hospitals and get it started up perhaps in an available school classroom, in a YMCA, in the hospital themselves. And so I haven't seen a complete report out on how many of those have happened already. I know there's a major push for it in Milwaukee. There's a push for it in Madison. I know hospitals themselves have reached out into their communities to find out if there's college students or high school students who would be available to do some babysitting. But it literally is feeling very much like piecemeal right now. I suspect in the coming weeks, there will be much more of a strong system around it.
Let's bring in Al now in Fall Creek. Al, what is your situation like?
Yes, I take exception to the misconception that teachers are basically on hiatus and getting paid for it. My wife works in the Eau Claire system, and she is doing as much work online as she did almost in the classroom because there is the mandate to have teachers teach online. So my wife is putting in all this time at home to get set up and to get squared away with being able to teach the children online.
A whole new platform of learning. Yeah. Al, thank you for bringing that. Ruth, can you respond?
Yeah. Yes, thank you for mentioning that. It is a very important part of this conversation. There are many, many school teachers out there that are doing everything they can to continue their students' learning. He is absolutely 100% right about that. I do think we hear from many communities, however, where there's a higher rate of low-income students or students at risk of not having access to those online tools, where different types of decisions are being made, and it's not quite as perhaps well-structured as it sounds like what his wife is able to do.
Abby, before we have to let you go, how are your staff holding up?
You know, my staff are doing amazing. We have a really strong school family. Their first priority was making sure that all of our funded families had access to shelter and food, and then making sure that our non-funded families had access to the child care that they need to do their essential work. And I've really seen our school family pull together. It's been a beautiful thing to see, but it's also been really hard to not be able to protect everyone and make sure that everybody has what they need.
Abby, thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
Abby Cruz is Executive Director of the Playing Field Child Care Center in Madison. Coming up, we continue our child care conversation with Ruth Schmidt, who leads the Wisconsin Early Childhood Association, and we'll bring in the perspective of a child care provider in New Glarus. Did your center decide to close? What decisions were you forced to make? Bring your situation, 800-642-1234. We'll pick this up after a news update here on the Ideas Network. It's the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Some parents have already pulled their child out of daycare over COVID-19 concerns, but they continue to pay tuition because you don't want to lose your spot in the daycare. We're spending the hour on the daycare crisis as the number of COVID-19 cases in Wisconsin has surpassed 300 with 4 confirmed deaths. Childcare providers, how are you navigating this? After school if you're after school wraparound, are you in talks to try to offer care? Is it even possible at this point? Let's talk, 800-642-1234. Ruth Schmidt stays with us. She leads the Wisconsin Early Childhood Association. And now let's bring in Corrine Hendrickson. She's a child care provider in New Glarus, operating Corrine's Little Explorers with preschool services and early childhood care and education. Corrine, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Hello.
So what is your situation like today? Are you open or closed?
I closed as of this weekend for starting today because I had, after last week, all of my families had somebody in the household that was able to stay home with the child.
And so how did you talk with staff about this?
As a family child care provider, I don't have staff. It's just myself. So I sent out an email to all my families a week prior when I kind of saw that this was maybe coming, and I let them know that I would stay open as long as we were able to stay open. I was able to stay open safely and to keep, you know, the children in a safe routine that they're used to, and so that they would also be able to kind of come through this as best as possible as well. And then as more and more information came out about community spread and the ability of the children to have it but not have symptoms, but yet it's still contagious, it really made me think about, you know, is this the best for my families and for my personal family and for the children in my community and in my care? I was doing a lot of extra laundry as well.
Did your families have enough time to prepare for this? Where are they finding backup resources for childcare?
All of my families have somebody at home now, so they are able to make it work.
Yeah. And you provide preschool education. How has that been impacted by the school closures?
So the preschool program was closed as soon as our school district closed. I operate that because I have children that are in school in the morning for 4K, so I have open spaces, so I will take kids as long as New Glarus School District is operational.
Ruth, what have you heard from providers who are struggling with whether to stay open? Is it becoming more clear now that they will probably end up closing?
So it's what's sort of interesting is there are some states that have moved towards closures, and then they have plans for reopening sort of under like a pandemic child care license. So, for instance, Ohio, as of, I think, 2 days ago, all of their programs were closed, or most of their programs were closed. And then starting later this week, they'll open under this pandemic child care license. And I believe Massachusetts is also closing all child care programs effective the 22nd of March. And then they'll also be doing emergency startups. And so I think the biggest challenge is we're putting childcare programs in the position of needing to make these decisions themselves. And many other industries, for instance, going back to schools where the state made the decision, we didn't expect to put teachers and administrators in this incredibly hard process of explaining to families why we're not going to serve your children anymore, or why we're not going to be open so that you have a place to put your kids while we're at work. And I think we're expecting a lot of childcare programs to have them having those challenging conversations, making decisions that they know are going to dramatically impact the families that are in their care. And so, you know, any steps the state could take, and I pushed on this to the Department of Children and Families, which is, I have to say, doing an amazing amount of work to address this. But we need more. We need further guidance on that. Families need further guidance on what they should be doing.
Corrine, what is your personal situation like now that you don't have your center open? You don't have a job personally. Will you be able to file for unemployment?
Personally, I am unable to file for unemployment because I have my own business. So, no, right. I won't be able to.
How will you be getting by?
So far, I am charging my parents a reduced rate based off of my more direct expenses, like my mortgage, my utilities, and things like that. But I have told all of my families that if the state or federal government comes through with some sort of child care subsidy, that then I will take all payments received towards their future care when I reopen. So I'm encouraging them to also reach out to their legislators, both at the state and federal levels, to get this through so that we do have the support that we need. Because if a parent is unemployed, they're also not making enough money to get by either. But the other choice is I either don't collect anything now and then reopen and have to double my rates in order to make up for this.
Yeah. Ruth, what do you see there in terms of holding the spot, a family holding their spot at their daycare?
Yeah, I mean, I think the challenge obviously is we've got a lot of parents who are also being laid off right now. And so their ability to make those payments, which is I fully support childcare programs in making those decisions. And again, I wish it weren't a situation where we have to have this pitted between families and providers. As Corrine was saying, we need the leadership from the state and federal level on this. But the challenge is that there's just a lot of families that are themselves facing unemployment during this time. And so their ability to make any type of payment like that is pretty significantly compromised. And I think the other piece that is challenging, too, uniquely for family child care programs like Corrine, many of them, the insurance that they carry on their program, unless they are mandated to close, they have limitations on their ability to collect on insurance payments to sort of keep them going for a period of time. And so while we're in this sort of, are we closing, aren't we closing, are we directed to close, it's really putting them in a very hard position.
Corrine, what is the overhead like for you going forward now that you're closed?
My overhead will be my mortgage, utilities, my cell phone, internet services, supplies that, you know, I have to replace, even though we're not necessarily using them. I'm still working because I have an IEP that I'll be doing over the phone tomorrow. I have other, you know, things that I'm doing. I also set up a private Facebook group for my families, and one of my kiddos' birthday is today. So we're going to do a messenger video chat, and we're going to all sing to him. And so I'm trying to also, like, keep going as far as that goes. I am the secretary of my childcare network, and I've been sending and forwarding emails from DCF because not everybody's been getting them, and really kind of working as a point person with all of that too. So I'm still working. I'll be repainting my room and going through things as well.
We're talking with Corrine Hendrickson, a family child care provider based in New Glarus. Ruth Schmidt is here, executive director of the Wisconsin Early Childhood Association. We're looking at the child care challenges this hour amid the crisis of COVID-19. What is your situation? How are you managing amid the school closures? Are you able to care for your kids at home? Are they going to a child care center that's closed? Is a family member there or a friend available to help? Join in at 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. Corrine, as the coronavirus started to spread in the U.S. and Wisconsin, we got more and more directions. What did you try to do at your center to keep keep kids safe?
I definitely increased sanitization. I took everything out of the room that could possibly be like fabric or anything, washed it all that weekend, and I have kept it out of the room. So all blankets, stuffed animals, et cetera, have been out every day. I have been washing the kids' sleeping things so that they're ready for the next day. I've been watching, you know, for signs and symptoms. But as Abby was saying, we don't know. They can have the COVID without a temperature. So how do you know? So it's just been really difficult trying to keep the kids as safe as possible, along with my family.
Corrine, you also do some of the preschool, and you mentioned instruction online for an individual learner. How is that going?
It hasn't really started yet, so okay. We'll see how that goes. Today is kind of when I'm going live with all of that and, you know, doing meetings and trying to make sure, because I do have two children with special needs here, and I work with them and their families and partner with the school to try and, you know, meet their requirements. So last week, they both are normally in school all day, and I took them back. So I was trying to, you know, continue their education and make sure that they were able to, you know, thrive during this time too, along with all the other children.
Yeah, Ruth, you know, we have to make sure that, as so many superintendents had told us last week, that education continues equally, that students have equal opportunity to education. And I imagine, too, that these daycare centers that provide 4K are in a similar position.
Right. I mean, that's absolutely true. And I would also say that the best 4K learning that's happening is play-based learning. And so those are things that are very hard to replicate in any type of a online setting, right? Mm. And while I think parents can do amazing work with their children and support them, there is so much learning that is happening in early childhood programs because we have a workforce that is well-educated, understands child development and enrichment, and puts those tools to use in their programs, that it's just critical that we're getting resources out to families to know best how to do those types of activities with their children also.
Ruth Schmidt is executive director of the Wisconsin Early Childhood Association. Corrine Hendrickson is a family child care provider in New Glarus. So what actions should our elected officials take regarding childcare right now? Are you concerned you can continue to afford daycare if your hours have been cut back or you've been furloughed right now? What are the hard choices here? What comes next for your family? Be part of this. 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. Back in a minute. More conversation here on the Ideas Network. It's the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Across Minnesota, YMCA fitness centers that were shuttered during the COVID-19 outbreak, along with other gyms, so they're reopening today to provide child care. Minnesota's Governor Tim Walz announced Friday that the state has authorized the YMCA to open 38 child care sites across Minnesota during this outbreak. Should Wisconsin make a similar move, or should daycares close completely right now? Still time for you at 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. We have Corrine Hendrickson with us, a family child care provider in New Glarus. Ruth Schmidt is here, who leads the Wisconsin Early Childhood Association. So we heard from Brooke, who's been listening this morning. Brooke emailed and operates a group child care center in rural Wisconsin, decided to close over concerns about being able to run a safe environment. Brooke says they wanted to stay open only for essential workers, and they wanted stricter safety regulations from the state. Ruth, what kind of regulations could be helpful to providers right now?
So there is some guidance out from the feds and from several national organizations. And along with that, there are folks in Wisconsin. In fact, Abby, who is just on with you, is one of the individuals, a couple people on my staff who have worked very hard on putting together sort of emergency practices for childcare programs and protocol for if you're going to start up in emergency childcare type of facilities. And obviously the things that the recommendations that are laid out in any of those types of resources is going to be around the areas that Abby had talked about earlier in terms of doing screenings when children are dropped off, not allowing parents into the program, making sure that you're practicing sort of excessively strong hygiene practices, the things that Corrine was talking about in terms of, disinfecting surfaces. I mean, I think all of it is ramp that up considerably. But the bottom line is, and this is, I think both Abby and Corrine brought this up, that with young children, there literally may not be symptoms. And we've got these child care programs that are on the front line and being exposed to who knows what. So I think there's just there's a lack of knowledge about the best ways to sort of support everybody. And this isn't, again, not just Wisconsin, this is across the nation.
Ruth, could rural and urban child care providers be facing different challenges right now?
Oh, that's a really good question. I mean, what we knew going into this is that 80% of our rural areas in the state are marked as, as child care deserts, which is dramatically different than what you see in some of our more urban areas. We have some urban areas like Madison that has a lot of child care issues, especially around availability of things like infant care, but doesn't have the level of shortages that we see in rural areas. And so what's happened is you've taken an already super fragile system in rural areas that's just going to be that much more fragile because care wasn't available to begin with. And now trying to pair it to those really essential worker families is going to be absolutely critical. I also think that when you look at large communities, City of Milwaukee, Madison, Green Bay, their ability to really spin up programs based on community centers and Y's and things like that that could be available simply by the fact that they have more of that in their communities, more of those resources is probably a much more likely thing to see happen.
Brooke also asks if a closed business could receive support from their insurance if they are not mandated to close. And we talked a little about this earlier. Corrine, what's your experience been like with insurance so far?
I asked mine, and I am not covered. I have had several other providers reach out to me and tell me that they can get it, but only if the state mandates they shut down. Their business liability will cover it. So I will be changing my insurance based off of that knowledge. I think another thing, too, that Ruth didn't mention was that we really want to make sure if we're reopening or taking kids that there's no one in the household that can keep those kids already at home safe before we add them to the mix.
So as a family child care provider, Corrine, what do you need from state officials at this time? What actions or support is necessary right now?
We need hazard pay. If we're going to stay open, we need investment in child care, not just now, but in the future. Right now, only 17% of children are on subsidy, which are the only children we're guaranteed to be getting funding from, and not every program accepts. You have to be participating in Young Star in order to get that. Not every program accepts that. So what we really need is all of our parents need to be subsidized. All of our regulated and legally operating programs need to be subsidized. We need to have a definite way of making sure that the children in our care don't have somebody already at home that are able to take care of them. Even if they're working from home, they're still home, so that we're not spreading as much as possible. We just overall just need support and to be acknowledged that we're essential, but we're really being treated as expendable right now.
Talking with Corrine Hendrickson, a family child care provider based in New Glarus, who did close her center over the weekend. Ruth Schmidt is here, executive director of the Wisconsin Early Childhood Association. Ruth, should state and national leaders consider making financial support available to providers during this pandemic? As Corrine said, hazard pay.
Yes. There's no other way to say it. It's flat out a yes. And I think, you know, we know, in fact, today there's going to be a very organized advocacy mobilization happening around a bill that is that we're hoping to put pressure on at the national level that is very targeted at childcare. And we know that there are certain things happening at the national level in terms of the coronavirus tax relief that's happening. Some of those things will absolutely be available. Some states are doing very creative things. Indiana is putting temporary grants or assistance for providers in place. And Vermont is trying to find ways to support private pay families. And Colorado is trying to group childcare in with the essential workers that would receive sick leave coverage during this time. So I think there's a lot of possible considerations. I know that there are discussions happening between governor and between our state legislature right now. And in conversations I've had with folks at Department of Children and Families, I have, you know, again, really reiterated the need for there to be a very specific package that's going to be available to help with financing what's happening to childcare during this really challenging time. So I think part of it is it's this hurry up and wait, and everything feels very urgent right now. But we also have to wait for political processes to sort of play out. And hopefully that'll happen sooner rather than later.
Corrine, you mentioned starting a Facebook group. Have you talked with other child care providers in New Glarus and elsewhere in Wisconsin? What are you talking about? And what is the consensus out there?
Yes, I've been talking to providers throughout my community and throughout the state. A lot of it is we're just unsure, and we really want to make sure that the children are taken care of and that we're taken care of and our families are, you know, taken care of. We're thinking that maybe, you know, having teachers willing to go to the home of essential workers that don't have the, you know, underlying risks would reduce community spread. And also taking a child you don't know, this child's coming into a brand new place. And it's kind of an uncertainty, too, like how is that going to work, you know? And it's adding stress and trauma onto the parents because they're taking their kids to someone they don't know, you know, on top of everything else that's going around. So to me, it feels more like it could be more of a targeted one-to-one as much as possible. And then, you know, looking at what Ruth was saying with, like, closer to the hospitals and things like that, having a place for the people who work at just that hospital in one area so that, again, we're reducing that community spread. But a lot of it is there's just a lot of unknowns and uncertainties, and what are you doing, and how are you doing this? Well, are you able to get, you know, these supplies, or are you able to get parents to pay? Or I feel really guilty about making parents pay, but I have to stay open. So it's just a lot of companionship and a lot of just feeling like we're all this together as well, which has been very heartening.
Corrine, thank you for joining us. Corrine Hendrickson is a family child care provider in New Glarus. And Ruth, thank you for joining us.
Thank you so much.
Ruth Schmidt is executive director of the Wisconsin Early Childhood Association. Just ahead, as coronavirus crisis deepens, hospitals prepare and Washington responds. We have the latest on the pandemic on Point. That's coming up next. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. This is The Morning Show, and you're listening to the Ideas Network.